Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Let's get ready for service tonight. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord on this Wednesday night. Hope everyone's doing well. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer and just get right into service. What a wonderful weekend with our homecoming and all the folks we got to see we hadn't seen in a while. And glad for love each and every one of you. Glad you're here. Those watching online, welcome tonight to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Whether you're watching it live or at a later date, welcome, welcome, welcome. Does anyone have a... I just noticed something. There's no one on this side of the church. Everybody's over here. So if I lean this way, we'll know why. Anybody with a spoken prayer request over here this evening? Yes, Brother Jim. Absolutely. Definitely lift her up. Definitely lift her up. Anyone else? Miss Lori?
I don't know her name, but I was just at Hobby Lobby and the cashier told me that her aunt, just in May, I think she passed away. And she said, retired 43 years from work, and she's been diagnosed with COVID and been
Oh, goodness.
So the
family had a hard time. Absolutely. 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 Anyone else? The congregation with spoken prayer request? I thought I saw another hand. No? Alrighty. Anyone up on the roster? Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Bill. Years old. Praise God. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. We just love to give Him all the honor and glory for His many miracles and His love for us. Praise the Lord. Anyone else with a spoken prayer request before I leave? Miss Julie, I see your hand back there. Absolutely. Most definitely will. Praise God. All righty. Anyone up on the roster? Brother Curtis, I'm sorry.
Brother Jeff Flowers from Texas also has
a prayer. Oh, okay. Absolutely. And for all those, the text blast we get, and there's so many, and those that we see on the screen, and don't forget about our prayer box, too. It's a wonderful blessing, and just want to keep each and every one of those prayers. I know there's victories written all over them now, and so many prayer requests, but we just love the Lord. If you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. Oh, yes. Let's all just pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You tonight. Dear Lord, we thank You, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to gather in Your house and in Your mighty name. Dear Lord, as we come together tonight, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to praise You, ready to lift You up, dear Lord, but most of all, dear Lord, ready for You to minister to us. Dear Lord, whether we're here live or we're watching, it's being watched on a feed, Lord, we ask now that You'll touch each and every one, dear Lord, that comes in contact with this service tonight, with Your message that's brought forth, dear Lord. We ask You to bless our pastor, Lord, as he brings forth Your word, dear Lord, strengthen them. I know there are those going through testing and waiting on results right now, Brother Chris, and all the others that are going forward, those other situations, those that have lost a loved one or those that have been diagnosed with these horrific things that's going forward, dear Lord. We know You're greater than Alzheimer's. You're greater than COVID. Lord, we know that You're greater than each and every situation, Lord. We just want to praise You. We're going to place Him in Your hands, dear Lord, and by Your name, Jesus, dear Lord, we're claiming it done and healed and prepared. Lord, we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, one that I've asked Miss Jennifer and Miss Penny, if you would, to sing along with us. On page 52, Jesus, Hold My Hand. Let's all just sing out and just praise the Lord.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Seekings, and it is the Christ of Calvary. Jesus, hold my hand.
Amen.
Let me, Jesus, hold my hand.
Somebody a wave you hadn't had a chance to speak to this evening. Just love each and every one of you. Most of all, Jesus loves you. Praise God. Praise God. We're just going to go ahead and move forward. I don't have any announcements up here right now. So y'all think of anything that I... Oh, that's right. I need to write those dates up here. August what? 20th. Okay, August 23rd through 25th. Anybody watching online, if you hadn't had a chance to hear... We're having a revival. It'll be a powerful time of God in the Lord. Brother Morrow's going to be doing it. Really looking forward to it. And just be in much prayer also for our revival. Invite somebody. Let's fill the house for the Lord. And just let Him just minister to each and every one of us. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering. And We'll go forward if we don't have any other announcements right there. Thank you, brothers. Or brother. There you go. Brother Billy, if you would, just ask the Lord to bless our offering, please. Yes, Lord.
See you. What I was trying to say there, I'm going to try a new song for you tonight. This is a song I've heard sung so many times by different people, but the words in it, the lyrics in it are extremely strong. So listen to the words, and hopefully it'll touch you.
Praise the Lord. It's called Through It All. Y'all worship as I sing. I've had many tears and sorrows, and I've questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. I've been to lots of places and I've seen so many faces. There have been times I felt so all alone. But in yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in if I never had a problem, I'd never know my God could solve them, and I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Depend upon His Word. I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've learned to depend upon His Word. Praise the Lord.
How many is depending on His Word?
Amen.
Everybody now. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so glad that we can depend on Jesus.
Yes.
Let's do G, I guess. Mountains are good, aren't they?
Yes.
Somebody once told us that very little vegetation is on the peak of the mountain. Most all the fruit, most all the vegetation, most all the growth is in the valley. Sometimes we don't like to walk in the valley. Sometimes that's where our spiritual strength and our spiritual growth comes from. It's good being on the mountaintops. It's good having no cares, no problems, no tears, and no pain. Sometimes that produces very little growth. I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low, but not one time has He failed me. Went to Him with my troubles I go. So let me walk with You, Jesus.
don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never, no, never make heaven my home. I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low. Oh, but not one time has he failed me. When to him with my troubles I go. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never, no, never make heaven my home. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him? Today, please don't turn him away, Jesus. Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I could do nothing, and without him I'd surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without. Sing it with me, church. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away, Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be. But thank God we're not without him.
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. He sticketh closer than a brother. Good to see you tonight. Appreciate you being out. Man, we've had vacation Bible school and we've had homecoming. It's good to have regular church again tonight. Man, we just appreciate you coming out tonight. Hopefully you've been blessed this week. If you have, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. We're blessed. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of Psalm. The 69th Psalm tonight is where the Lord has led us, we feel. Always let it be led by the Lord. I've tried it the other way around. It doesn't work well. Man, I've tried in past times to lead the Lord in areas of my life, and I finally had to learn, amen, that I need to be led by Him and by the Spirit. How many knows it works out better that way when we let the Lord lead us and guide us? In the 69th Psalm, verses 1 through 4, thank you for standing tonight as we read from the Word of the Lord. The psalmist David writes, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters. where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your holy word, for your spirit, God, that we can feel. God, for the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Father, we're thankful for those who have gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray that we'll be hungry for your word. God, ready to do your will. Father, we know that revival is coming, but God, let it start now. Amen. Lord, just let us prepare a place and a time in our hearts and our mind for a refreshing and a refilling, God, of your holy anointing. We ask that anointing tonight. God, if you would anoint these lips of clay, anoint this vessel, God, to speak that you would have us to hear tonight. Lord, that we might be hearers, not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. And Father, we'll look to you to give you all that praise and honor and glory. For we ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you love Jesus, give him one more hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. Well, it's good to be here, as I said. Tonight, if I had a message thought, it would be drowning in despair. Drowning in despair. The definition tells us that despair means the complete loss or absence of hope. That would be a bad case to be in. But here we find the psalmist David in this type of situation. You know, we often read of the patriarchs of old and how that they were on fire for God and then things happened and they maybe slid away or was a little disobedient. And that didn't mean that God quit loving them. But I'm so thankful for the dispensation of grace, the Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ left behind for us, that not only is with us, but is inside us, to keep us on a level playing field, if you would, or a plateau, amen, to know that we don't have to be down in the dumps. We can face adversity, we can face situations, but that is within us, amen, how many knows, is greater than anything that we face, and we thank God for that. But this was not the case with David. David here is finding himself in despair. Now, he's used several analogies here that would let us know that whatever the situation is, it is overwhelming to him. Now, this is the giant killer. Come on, somebody. This is the David that played the harp that said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." And, you know, all of those wonderful scriptures that he had read or had written before, but now we find him in a sad state, in a state of depression, in a state that I would like to refer to as drowning in despair. Now, we've all faced despair, and we've all faced adversity. But what are we going to do with those situations arise? Are we going to let it overwhelm us? Are we going to step out on faith and believe that God is able to carry us through whatever situation or whatever circumstance we face in life? I, for one, want to choose God to help me through it because I know in my own strength and in my own ability, I would be drowning in despair. But I know whatever I go through and whatever faces me, I don't face it alone because the Lord Jesus Christ is there with us to lead us and guide us and direct us. But he uses the analogy. First of all, he cries for help. He said, "Save me. Save me." Now, if you heard anybody shout that out, then you would immediately look to see what was going on, whether they were drowning in the water, where they were in a fiery building or something, or a situation that had arisen. You would come and probably call others around you because somebody is crying out for help. I saw this week where a tragic accident happened. Maybe you saw that, and a car ran into a storefront building or something, and it trapped a little girl, I believe, under the car, and there was a policeman there, and others gathered around him. And it's amazing. We've all heard the stories of amazing strength that comes because of that energy that flows when there's emergency there, and they were able to raise the front end of that car and get the little girl out and be able to save her. And you know, if somebody's crying for help and save me, help me, whatever, is going to get the attention of those that are around them. And David is crying out to the one that he knows that can help him through adversity and through situations. Now, it sounds like to me that David was accustomed to calling on the name of God. How many is accustomed to calling on the name of the Lord? Amen. I don't want to be a stranger to him. Do you? Amen. I want to keep in constant contact with him. Let me just kind of throw this in for good measure. Even when there's no problems in our life, there's no sickness, there's no affliction, it's all right to still call on the name of the Lord. It's just me. I want to love you and I want to praise you and I want to lift you up. It's a whole lot easier to get in touch with the Lord when adversity comes or emergencies if you are continually communicating with the Lord. And that's not going to cost you anything extra. I just thought I'd throw that in. Stay in touch with the Lord. But David here is saying, save me. Why? For the waters are come into my soul. Now these, according to David, were extraordinary times. Extraordinary waters. We know that most likely he was not in a physical lake or pond or bottomless pit. But he was overwhelmed with some kind of despair, with some kind of sadness. We read later on that his enemies were coming against him. And how many knows that's what enemies do? When you begin to expect anything else from an enemy, man, you better kind of refocus, because they're not there to help you. They're not there to cheer you up. They're not there to give you comfort. And when I'm talking about the enemies, I'm talking about those demonic things, that the spirits that are in the world today. And sometimes we know that people can be our enemies, but more than likely, it is the enemies of despair and depression and anxiety and sickness and affliction and doubt and fear and all of those other things that the devil seemingly continues to use on a regular basis to throw at us to cause us to have despair. Isn't it quite amazing when we are facing two or three battles that all of a sudden all of these other things come on as well? You know, it seems like sometimes that the devil's not bothering anybody else but us. He's our enemy, and he's kind of just said, I'm just not going to pick on anybody else today except this particular one. I'm going to throw everything I got in the bag at him. If you've ever felt like that, just say praise the Lord. Amen. Because God saw you through it, because we see you here tonight. But this is what David is facing. He said, they're overflowing my soul. The waters have come into my soul, and it's basically drowning my spirit. It's causing me to focus on the bad things and not the power of God. And you know, that's one of Satan's biggest tricks. If he can get your mind off and get your mind off of God and off of the focus of God and on your situation, on your problem, on your trouble, then first thing you know, you're drowning in despair, or you're going down with all of these things, and you're constantly saying, I can't even face this problem because another one's coming at me. And it causes some time, not only despair, but it causes frustration, spiritual frustration as well. And then he said, I sink. These two things, he said, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. So he's likened it to waters that are overflowing him, and then going into his soul. And then he says, also, I sink in deep mire. And it's one thing to tread water, and you've tread water till you give out. Then you're going to need some help. You're going to need somebody to throw you a lifeline, or you're going to need something to stand on to give you a little bit of reprieve, to give you a little bit of breath, to give you a little bit of opportunity to get your strength back from treading water. Because when you're constantly treading water and you can't get anywhere, you've got to have a little bit of rest. And he said, there is no standing. One definition says, there is no foothold. Now that really struck a chord with me. Maybe it doesn't to you. But if you've ever been in a situation, a spiritual situation, a financial situation, a physical situation, whatever it is, and it feels like you're just treading water. You're not getting anywhere. You're not gaining anything. In fact, you think you're losing your strength, and then you're losing your will to battle that has come against you. And for some reason, if you could just find a place to stand still and see the salvation of God, if you can just find a foothold. I've often seen the mountain climbers, and God would have to be with me if I ever climbed a mountain like that. I mean, I like the steps, and I like the chairlifts that go up there. I'm for the easy climb of the mountain. But I've seen those mountain climbers and going up the face of a rocky cliff, and how they will search and look for just a little bit of a hole, amen, to have a foothold and put their fingers there, and then try to, and once they get their foot in there, then they can begin to make progress. And many, many times they will just rest on the side of that cliff. Why? Because they found a foothold. Think of that spiritually. If you think that the waters of the enemy are over flooding your soul, they're coming in, they're drowning you, you feel like you're in despair, and you can't find anywhere to stand spiritually, I want you to know that there is a foundation in Jesus Christ, and we can stand on Him. We can stand on that solid rock. How many knows and is acquainted with that solid rock that Jesus compared Himself to? Even when most adversity or all of those problems surround us, if we can get a foothold, hold on Jesus, and that's where I have to stand, amen, to get that strength that I need. David realizes that a little later, but right now he's drowning in despair. They tell me a drowning person will reach out to anything that can get a hold of for just a little bit of breath, just a little bit of strength, whatever it is, a limb, a log that's passing by, something, because they're going down. And this is what David is saying. I'm drowning in despair, basically. And he says, I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. In other words, the despair has grown to such an extent that it's drowning him out of all hope. And that's what despair is. A complete and absolute absence of hope. Can I warn us tonight? Don't ever let Satan back you into a corner where you feel like you don't have any option, you don't have any avenue of escape, and finally you don't have any hope. Because when everything that I've done fails, my hope is not in me. My hope is not in my ability. But my hope is in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who has in fact promised me that I won't leave you and I won't forsake you. Amen. How many knows that's the greatest foothold that we can have? That is the greatest foundation that we can have, is the Lord Jesus Christ and His promise that He will always be with us. And then David says, basically, I'm at a point where I can't do anything. Everything that I do, basically, has fallen flat. Everything that I've tried has failed. And you know what? That's one of the worst situations or circumstances that we can get ourselves into when we have no options. It's almost like, and I think I may have shared this with you, I was in my office and had an appointment several years ago, many, many years ago, and I was talking to a young man, and we were talking about his relationship with his wife, and things were not good, just not to go into any great detail, and it was almost to a point where they were ready to just kind of throw their hands up and quit and say, you know what, we're just going to turn that chapter in our book and go on forward. In other words, we've tried everything that we know to do, and I was urged to come and talk to you. And you know, I listened to it. You know, so many times, and I've told you this, so many times people have walked out of my study and said, brother, you have helped me so much, and all I've done is just listen. So many times people will give their own advice. They just need somebody to pour their heart out. Like David said, save me. Listen, when you don't let me get off my point of view, but if you're drowning, you don't care who saves you. You're not going to be picky. Amen. You just need somebody. Boy, that's a call right now, because there's people out in the world today that are crying. You're not hearing it, but they're crying, save me. In their actions, save me from this lifestyle. Save me from the sin that I'm in. They don't care what denomination it is. They don't care where you go to church. They just need somebody to reach down and help them spiritually and point them to Jesus Christ, who is in fact the Savior of the world. So I let him talk, and I talked, and he talked, and he talked, and basically everything that he said, we tried that. It just doesn't work. And I was, the whole time that I was listening to him, I was imagining in my mind, and you've all seen this, and most of the time it's in the form of a cartoon or something. It's where someone is painting the floor, and they painted themselves into a corner, and then they stand up, and they look around because they're stuck. They did not paint themselves to a doorway or an exit. They painted themselves into a corner, and now they have run out of options. There's nothing else they can do. It just says stay there and wait till that paint dries. So I shared this with him, and I said, what you're telling me is you have no options. No options whatsoever. And I shared that with him about painting oneself in the corner. And I asked him, how would you get out of that situation if, in fact, you have painted yourself and all the exits and all the doorways you've already painted there, and you're in this corner, and you stand up and you finally realize that it's all hope is gone. I've painted myself into a corner, and I have no options. He said, well, I guess the only way to get out of that would be up. And I said, you've just answered your situation. The only way when we've lost every option is to look up to Jesus Christ. To look up to our Lord. Because even when the things are impossible with man, they are made possible by God. We've always got an option with Jesus. Amen. The devil may say, no, you don't. The devil may say, what are you going to do now? I backed you into a corner, but we can come out of that corner in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and said, you know what? My only way up, our only way out is up, and I'm putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've ever been there, come on, thank the Lord that He brought you out of that situation. And David is saying, I'm out of options. Not only is the water overflowing me, not only am I drowning, it's almost up to here now, and I have nothing to stand on. I don't have a foothold. There's no standing. And then he mentions the deep mire. Now, the deep mire is a different situation. It's a slower, more agonizing peril or death. Because they tell me in the quicksand that the more you struggle, the more you sink. If you could allow just to relax and maybe not move a muscle, you could stay there till somebody threw you a lifeline. But I'm going to be honest with you. It's kind of hard to relax when everything in the world is going against you. And we have that human factor that tells us we got to fight. We got to fight. We got to struggle. We got to get out of this. And because of that, we try to fix things ourselves. And what happens? We sink deeper in the mire. Rather than just relinquishing to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, you know what? There's no way I'm going to get out of this. I cannot see any way of relief. But Lord, I'm just going to relax and I'm going to just relinquish all of this to you. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to depend on you to deliver me. And how many knows when everything else fails, that's when God likes to step in and deliver us. Amen. Drowning in despair. We all have had despair. We've all suffered from despair. But we do not, according to the Word of God, have to let it overcome us or spiritually kill us. And then David says, they that hate me. You know, the devil loves to throw that in your face. He loves to just kind of rub it in your face. There's people out there that don't like you. How many knows that? But you know what? Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless life, so much so that the Bible tells us there was no guile or deceit in his mouth. He never said a deceitful word. He could not lie. He was the Son of God. He was God robed in flesh. He was Christ, the Messiah, the sacrificial lamb. But you know what? There were people that hated him and despised him and called him all manner of names. And I would imagine, and we often refer to this, when Jesus often went to the garden and he would excuse himself away from his disciples and away from those others because he needed that time to strengthen the flesh, not the spirit. His spirit was mighty. His spirit was strong. His spirit was God himself enrobed in flesh. But the flesh became weak. And don't you realize that probably in that garden, Satan said, you know what, Jesus, there's people that hate you. And all you've done is go about and do good things for folks. You've healed folks. You've fed folks. You've delivered people. You've ministered unto them. You've loved them when nobody else would love them. You've cleansed and healed the lepers. But there's people out there right now that want to stone you and want to kill you. But he had to pray that flesh under subjection. Amen. Because probably the flesh thought like David was. And many scholars here, in fact, refer to this particular chapter of Psalms as a type and shadow of the sufferings that Christ went through. You know, Christ could have rallied his disciples around him and said, y'all tell me something, make me feel good. Aren't we like that sometimes? Come on, I just need to hear a good word. I just need to hear some encouragement. Because everything I've heard, everything I've experienced today has been bad. And I just want to get to a point where I want to hear something good. But now Jesus, he withdrew himself into the garden and he began to pray and seek the will of God. He began to know that he had a foothold. And that foothold, amen, was his relationship with the Father. I want to encourage each and every one of you. You're not hopeless. And you may think that despair is almost up to here, but you're not drowning in despair. Because you have the Spirit of the Lord within you. And you've always got a foothold. And let me tell you something about a foothold. They put a foothold on the cross. You know, and when they take that foothold away, you know what? They couldn't raise themselves up. The crucifixion was a cruel death. It was not because of the bloody hands or the bloody feet. It was because they couldn't breathe. Finally, their legs would give out. That's the reason if they were still alive, they would come around and break their legs so they couldn't force themselves because that diaphragm, if they went down and grew so tired, eventually it would cut their breath off. And spiritually, doesn't it seem like that sometimes? We just have to take a deep breath and say, Lord, you know what? I don't know if I can take anything else. You ever been there? Anybody can testify? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't even have to nod your head. But has it ever affected you? Lord, this is so much. I just don't think I can take anything else. But you know what? You're not like David. David said, there's no standing. They're standing with us. We can always stand on that solid rock. Amen. Lift ourselves up. Take a deep spiritual breath and say, you know what? I'm not going to be a victim. Sister Benita talked about it Sunday when she said, we're not going to be a victim, we're going to be victorious. I actually like to say it like this. I'm not a victim, I'm an overcomer. Because the Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ. That means we're overcomers. Amen. Not because that I could do anything, but because he can do everything. And because he's in me, I just stand back and let him do it. Amen. Is that all right? If you let Jesus work things out for you, when you're drowning in despair, just kind of take a deep breath, stand on the solid rock and say, you know what, devil? You are defeated in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to rebuke you and all of those things that are coming against me. So David finally says, they that hate me without a cause. Oh, Lord, boy, can't we relate to that? I don't know what they got against me. I don't recall doing anything to hurt them. They just seem like they don't like me. And you know what? The devil amplifies that. He says, you're exactly right. They don't like you. In fact, they hate you. But in this case, they were actually people who hated David. They were envious. They hated him because of his relationship with the Lord. They hated him because of his power. They hated him because of his popularity. You remember all of them that sang the songs? Saul has killed his thousands. David's killed his 10,000. And Saul got all bitter and jealous about it. And there were some that were coming against him. And he said, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me. When you realize that there are people out there that are not for you, they are against you, and they would not care if you were absolutely destroyed spiritually. That's hard to say, but that's the way Satan works. There's people, there's situations that does not want you to have victory in your life. They don't want you to have joy. They don't want you to have peace. They don't want you to have satisfaction. But as long as you got Jesus, you got all those things. Amen. And these are just temporary things. Amen. The little stepping stones that we can go through as long as we hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs on my head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. I'm not saying that these little things are insignificant. They're strong. They're mighty. The very fact that we're destroyed by these things lets us know that they're powerful entities that come against us, powerful spirits that come against us. I'm just encouraging us and letting us know that that is within us is greater than anything that come against us. We can defeat them through the power of the Lord. It said, then I restored that which I took not away. I thought about that for a little bit. David said, I give back basically what I didn't even take away. Have you ever just turned around and loved your enemy? Have you ever just said, you know what, I'm sorry. Don't know what you did, but I'm sorry. If I've offended you, I'm so sorry. You know, it just, and you know what? When he done that, a great big burden lifted off of him. He said, I've restored what I didn't even take. Now it's on them. Amen. It's not going to get me down anymore. It's not going to drown me anymore because I found a foothold. And that foothold is the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives me power to even forgive those who have wrongly accused me or said anything about me. So, I'm just going to give back what I never even took. Amen. And later on, here's the wonderful thing. In verse number 30, when you get your mind right, when you get your spirit right, whatever adversity you're facing, praise will come. Amen. You may say, Lord have mercy, what have I got to praise the Lord for? You've got to praise the Lord because you've got an anchor. You've got something that you can stand on. And this is just temporary because the Lord will deliver us. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but He delivers us out of them all. In verse 30, David finally says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. When it feels like you can't do anything, just start singing the Lord and praising Him with thanksgiving ever before you see the effects of God delivering you. Because Satan can't stand that. Amen. It's one thing to glorify and praise the Lord after He has delivered you. But go ahead and start praising Him and thanking Him. I'll refer to you to two people who were sitting in prison, their feet and hands fast in the stocks. They didn't wait till after those stocks were loosed or the jail opened up before they started praising. They began to sing praises unto the Lord while they were still bound. Glory to God. There's a beautiful message right there. Amen. Because when they begin to sing songs unto the Lord and begin to praise Him, amen, their stocks came off of them, the jail cells opened up, and God just shook the whole foundation. God will honor faith. He will honor thanksgiving and praise. Sing. Amen. Sister Jennifer says, praise the hurt away. Boy, I love that. That's a powerful song and a powerful message. Don't grumble about the pain. Don't do like David and say, Lord, you know, I'm just sinking in despair. But praise that hurt away. Praise that pain away. Praise that situation away. In all things, give praise unto the Lord. So despair may come, anxiety may come, sickness and affliction may come, situations may come. But don't be drowning in despair, because you have, amen, a powerful relationship with the Lord. Just trust in Him and He will see you through every need and every situation. You know, I never questioned the Lord as to why or what these messages are. I just say, Lord, you know. And I know this is a Wednesday night crowd, and I know that this crowd have fought battles, and you're battle tested, and you know, situations come, but you're overcomers. But maybe somebody needed to hear that. If nobody else, maybe myself needed to hear it, or maybe someone who's on the live stream needed to hear. And maybe they're thinking that, you know what, all hope is gone, and I'm just kind of drowning in my sorrow and despair. But I want to give you a word of encouragement. As long as you've got Jesus, amen, He's going to work things out. Do you love the Lord tonight? Give Him praise if you do. I love you. Love each and every one of you. You're so blessed. We do have a lot of needs in our church. We've got a lot of sickness, a lot of people that are battling, and we need to continue to pray for them. I know that we've took prayer requests tonight, but let's don't do a one and done on them. Let's continue to keep them in our prayers and pray that God will restore health and God will bless those who are having procedures and situations in their life. And then we'll give God the honor and the glory. Amen. There's a lot of people, by the way, not to give you the big head, church, but there's a lot of people depending on your prayers. Like I said, had a call last night from Texas wanting prayer, and we prayed over the phone, but he also wanted to said hello to the church, and he also wanted the church to keep them in our prayers, and we're going to do that. We don't have to mention his name. God knows about it, but you know what? When we pray, we just need to continue to pray for those who's looking for us to pray for them that things will be better. Amen. And let's pray for our nation, and let's pray for those who need the Lord. Would you stand tonight? Did you have something, sister? Absolutely. We will have a special prayer for Brother Chris. Those of you that would like to get around, just anoint Brother Jim. Brother Chris. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we anoint Brother Jim, God, on behalf of Brother Chris, Father, I pray right now, God, that you touch his body. God, the fluid is building up. God, we know, Lord, that you can speak to that situation. God, heal that affliction right now. God, restore his health. Restore his strength right now. Touch him right now. Even as we pray, God, we're reaching out to you for a miracle, Lord. Lord, we pray, God, that you would heal his body. Touch him, anoint him, and make him whole. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare it done. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Yes, sir. We love Brother Chris. We know he's been through quite an ordeal. We just feel like old Satan's just trying to get him down. But again, we know greater is he that is within us than he that is with us. Amen. Anyone else? Come on, Brother Jim, and dismiss us with a word of prayer. God bless you. We love you. Hope you have a wonderful balance of the week. Let's do remember our kids who are starting back to school, some of them next week.
Yes, some of them.
It may be in the next week or two. Tuesday. Yeah, Paulin County is Monday, I think. And, it's really different than it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yes.
And you know, let's just pray. God knows how to work this out. So let's pray for our children that are starting back to school.
That's right.
And our teachers.
And our teachers, amen. Praise God. Amen. And teachers, yes, yes. As a matter of fact, that's a wonderful prayer request. Maybe we need to, however we want to do it, whether we post it or put it in our prayer box or whatever situation we use, but just keep that along. Just go ahead and that we'll just continue. Because just hearing the kids talking today, I had to run by the high school, and there's a lot of, it's not the excitement that I remember. There's a lot of that. Do we wear this? Do we not do that? All the things that's going on. But
it's
God.
It's confusing to them. They're
yes.
hearing different stories and all. But let's pray for the peace of God to settle that.
Yes.
And
yes.
Be with our teachers and our students. And our parents. You know, and grandparents. Because I think the kids are probably doing better than the parents and grandparents.
Absolutely.
Let's just pray for them.
All hearts and minds clear. again, and I'm just going to say this, anyone watching online, please post in the comments. We do believe in the power of prayer and that Almighty God, and in the name of Jesus we pray. All righty, well, this prayer will be dismissed. Don't forget Sunday school. Also, they're going to start putting on the Facebook feed whenever they can, however they know more than I do, a little thing about the dates of the revival we're having and stuff like that, so people make preparations. We just want to keep that in prayer. But also our normal service. As Brother Eddie spoke tonight, it's so powerful to know that we know Jesus and that throne of grace that we can go to with our needs. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise Your holy name. Dear Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for Your many, many blessings. Dear Lord, for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Dear Lord, for allowing us to come together in Your name, dear Lord. With all the things that seem to be going on, dear Lord, that we have a place of comfort. Lord, that we have a sanctuary that we can reach You, whether it's here in the church house or whether it be in our home, our car, wherever we are, dear Lord, that we can call on Your name. Lord, may we be in a constant communication with You, constantly in prayer, and, Lord, willing to hear Your voice, dear Lord, and that we'll stand strong, dear Lord, on that solid rock, that foundation that You've given each and every one of us, dear Lord. If there's anyone at the sound of our voice or hears this message that has not turned their life over to You, dear Lord, that is struggling with anxiety, Lord, with situations or feel the pressure, Lord, may they just know to turn to Jesus. Just surrender to Him and give all your needs, all your cares, even those things that you can't even put into words. God already knows what we need. And, Lord, we thank You again for this powerful message tonight. May it go forth, Lord, not just here in our ears, but that anyone will hear it on the live feeds or on Facebook. And, Lord, that they just get all the glory, dear Lord, that You get every ounce of glory. And, Lord, as we prepare to depart, we ask You to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. In Jesus' name, and we all say, amen, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. Have a wonderful rest of the week. Don't forget Sunday school.